From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of December 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a really in-depth look at the weather forecast, not only for here in the United States, but across the planet. That with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Look us up, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
At the CME Group in Chicago today, corn futures finished 3.25 lower at $3.68¾. The March at 378.5, down 2¾. May futures 384.5, 2¾ lower. In July, down 2.5 cents. Settlement price there at $3.89¼. Next year's December, the new crop harvest month at $3.92. Down 0.25 cents. Soy complex now, January beans up 7 cents. They finished at $8.78. The March at $8.92½, up 7. May futures up 6¼. A settlement price there at $9.07. And the July contract at $9.20, up 6 for the afternoon. November futures up 3¾ cents. Settlement price $9.29¼. The bean oil futures up 28 cents, $30.27. And the soybean meal at $2.94.60. That finished $2.10 higher. Wheat futures, July contract, that's the harvest month at $5.32¾ for the soft red, up a penny and 3/4. The hard red July settled at $4.54¾, 3¾ cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago, nearby December, $1.10 lower at $119.45 per 100 pounds. And the February at $124.17½, $1.47½ lower. The feeder cattle finished the January contract down $1.50 at $140.87½, and lean hogs at $61.87½, down 62½ cents for the afternoon. Crude oil at $58.52 a barrel, up $2.42. Ethanol unchanged at $1.46¹. Diesel fuel up 4½ cents. Gasoline 4¾ cents higher, and natural gas down 2¹. We're now joined by Jackie Vanks. She's at Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson and comes to us from Hollister, Missouri. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with those support and resistance levels. I'm not sure that they changed a whole lot over the last week, but you'd be a better judge of that than me.
Well, not on the corn side. They didn't change a lot. March now has support at $3.61, $3.25, and $3. Resistance $3.82, $4, and $4.18. May support at $3.85, $3.59, and then $3.49, and resistance at $3.90, $4, and $4.12. A big number in the beans, of course. We've had some big changes because of what's been going on. I can tell you, Todd, I would have never, ever guessed that we were going to see, 8 sessions or 9 sessions, I guess it was, actually down. Just slide away. It was just plain sad, especially knowing that it really didn't have anything to do with the beans themselves. But when you look at Jan beans, we've got supported 872, 864, and 829. Resistance 885, 903, and 920. The crossover is at 934 between the uptrend and the downtrend line. And so we are, we've got a ways to go before we get to that. But March, 881 support, 841, 824, and then 929 resistance, 956 and 983.
So do these numbers give you any indication, if a producer is forced to make a sale before the end of the year, as to where they might want to price out some crop?
If they're for, well, are you asking me for a target? Is that what you're asking me for? A
price target? Yeah, kind of.
Well, yeah, kind of. Well, I would have to say, I think that we could see the corn on the corn side of things. Let's just say, and they're forced to market on the corn side of things. That 390 area is really that's a tough area, is what it is. There's lots and lots of resistance in that area when you look at the March corn, and if they're going to do the May corn, we have to look basically a little bit higher than that, but not much. 395 You know, so if we're at 390 in March, we're probably at 395 in May. When you look at beans, beans is a toughie. There's no question about that. Wow. January beans at this point in time, they've got a lot of overhead resistance at that 885 level. And then it kind of slows down and then back up to that 908 level. So if we get to, you know, 908, 910, somewhere in that neighborhood, I think, you know, you better be doing something. But if you're not going to do something, well, you said they're going to be forced to sell it for cash. Right now, I'd still be looking at basis contracts if that's possible, you know, and then get ready to pull the trigger if we get a bounce back up here on the, you know, during the holiday season, which we've seen plenty of bounces during the season.
So do the basis contract, take your 70%, pay your bills, and then
I know
most won't have this in place, but have a target
right. In
mind and in place at the elevator, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, if I were looking at March beans and I wanted a target and I was just going to put it out there, I'd sell some probably even just at the $9 level, which is only about not even a dime away from where we've been, a small amount, and then up in that 915, 920 area, because there's an awful lot of congestion in that particular area. But it just depends upon how long they're willing to hold it, what's going to happen in terms of if you hold it past to the first of the year, what's it going to cost you to hold it, to roll it? All of those things have to be taken into account. So it's the best they can do is talk to whoever they're working with, you know, and try and figure out what's going to be the optimum way to be able to capture the most you can possibly get out of these contracts.
Does open interest tell us anything about the direction the market might want to go? And on that same note, what does managed money look like?
Well, when we look at open interest, we saw wheat interest up about 2,700 contracts yesterday in soft red. Hard red went up 1,100. Corn, unfortunately, down 2,300. Although I do believe that some of that is just some profit taking and some spreading that's going on. Beans we saw were up 4,100. And, you know, we know that beans had a more positive day yesterday. So I think some of that is short covering. So we can't get excited about that. I guess if you looked at the overall thing on open interest, don't get excited about it right at this moment just because we've had some buying that has come in here. We have no true long-term buy signals at this stage. And when we look at managed money now is short 7,000 versus 11,000 soft red wheat contracts, 133,000 versus 129 corn contracts, 59,000 short versus 16,000 long bean contracts as of last week. So that's a big change. And so you can see why the beans did what they did. When you look at meal, we're short 33,000 versus 29,000, and on soy oil, we're long 67 versus 76. So they shortened up their position on soy oil a little bit, but the funds were brutal. There's just no question about that to soybeans.
Next Tuesday, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE report, is due out from the United States Department of Agriculture. Do we have any early indications from the trade as to what it might hold?
Well, I found one, and don't shoot the messenger. On ending stocks for corn, we were at 1.91 last month. They're expecting 1.95, in other words, an increase. Beans, 4.75 last month, figuring 4.90. Wheat, 1.014. They're figuring 1.045 for this month, which ultimately means ending stocks would be going up on every single commodity. The only good news is this will all be in the market before next week, Tuesday, rolls around. World stocks going up from 2.96 to 3.05. Beans, 95.4 to 97, and wheat 288.3 to 285, and absolutely no change in any of the numbers for Argentina and Brazil, which means that everything we're seeing here is a reflection, basically, because the world stocks are going up to perhaps some more production. It's weaker. It could be weaker exports. It could be more production that they're looking at. It's all over the place. So I don't know. It's usually a nothing report, Todd. I mean, they can't change production, they can't change acreage, they can't do any of that, but they can change usage. And so that's what this looks like. It's probably they'll make some adjustments on usage and they're not big adjustments.
Again, those numbers are due out next Tuesday. You can always find them online at willag.org at 11 a.m. Central Time. That'll be the December WASDE. Of course, the final crop production report isn't due until January, and USDA is currently surveying about 80,000 farmers to get a handle on what that looks like. Turn your attention now to Brazil. We'll talk about this in a bit with Drew Lerner as it relates to the weather forecast, but what do we know about their crop?
Well, I think that basically, you know, they've had some pretty favorable weather of late, and it looks like the ongoing weather is continuing to be somewhat favorable. So I don't think we're going to see any big change in their crops right now. In general, you know, 123 million metric tons of beans is a lot. The big thing that's going on in Brazil at this point in time is, one of the big things from an infrastructure standpoint is they confirmed that the paving of BR-163 from northern Mato Grosso to the port up on the river is finally complete. And that is something that's been a disaster for them for a long time. Another thing is they've got record exports in corn for the year so far. So that could lead to some shortages down there. Their exports for corn so far could set a new record at 41 million tons. And it's basically due to the weaker Brazilian currency. And so I think that with, you know, they've got strong domestic demand. They have a lot of livestock producers and now ethanol producers too. So at the moment, you're looking at $3.30 a bushel for corn. They have a lot of fear that some of those large livestock producing states down in southern Brazil could actually end up paying $5.50 for corn. You know, they have that issue with hauling. You know, everything's by truck pretty much. The trains basically are monopolized by the commercial side of things. And so it just makes for a very difficult situation for the farmer.
Hey, I'd like to come back to politics for just a moment as it relates to Brazil and Argentina and the tariffs that President Trump imposed earlier in the week on steel and aluminum. Is there any fear in the trade that ethanol exports to Brazil might drop?
Oh, I believe that I don't know if I would call it fear. I would call it an expectation because of the fact that we know that they are, you know, they're building ethanol plants and they were one of our best buyers. At the same time, we've picked up other places to ship to. So I think that they don't necessarily offset each other, but it's a given that that's going to be the case down there. And part of why they built the ethanol plants is just because in some areas they have so much corn where they don't have as much usage, and to ship at other places is so extremely expensive. So it's going to take a while before it's going to really impact us, but it'll happen. It's going to come down the road, and I just think it'll be replaced by somebody else. Might even be replaced by China.
Hey, thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Evex is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Hey, don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. There you can listen to all of our ag programming. You can also register for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Now, those are coming up at the end, rather middle of this month on the 16th. We'll start out in Mount Vernon and then make our way through the state. The Ag Economist and I will be traveling for the summits. Their banker is likely to be there. I suspect you should be too. You should sign up today. You can do that at willag.org. The cost is just $80. That includes your noon hour meal, and that's when we finish. We start early in the morning. This is a great event, and you'll hear from folks that you hear all the time right here on our program, including Gary Schnitke, Scott Irwin, and Todd Hubbs. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits are the 16th to the 20th of December. You can sign up at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, just one quick item. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue announced incremental changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program this morning. It's often referred to as SNAP or sometimes food stamps. He says the changes bring the program back to the vision originally articulated by President Bill Clinton in the mid-1990s.
In fact, in 1996, when then-President Bill Clinton signed the welfare reform, instituting the current work requirements for work-capable adults without dependents, he said, and I quote, "First and foremost, it should be about moving people from welfare to work It should impose time limits on welfare, and it gives structure, meaning, and dignity to most of our lives.
The change would reduce the SNAP rolls, still commonly referred to as food stamps, by about 688,000 people. Now, they could stay enrolled in SNAP by working 20 hours a week, participating in a work training program for 20 hours per week, or volunteering for as little as 6 hours per week in some states. USDA officials maintain the economy is in such good shape that those able to work should work, and that the changes to SNAP the Trump administration is making will be the incentive for them to rejoin the workforce. Now, the changes, USDA reports, will save $5.5 billion over a five-year period. The new SNAP rule will be published tomorrow, with the implementation to begin in 120 days. Again, it will impact those work-capable adults without dependents currently enrolled in the SNAP program. The National Farmers Union released a statement related to the announcement. In it, Rob LaRue voiced the organization's opposition to the changes, saying, "This cold indifference to the struggles of our fellow Americans is unethical and unjustified." The Farmers Union has and continues to call on the administration to rescind the rule. And that's a look at today's Ag News. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, thanks so much for being with us. It's a really nice day in our part of the world. How about where you live?
Yeah, you know, it's a nice day. I think we're in the nice little mode here, where the U.S. is taking a little bit of a break from all the active weather this past weekend. And I think it's going to be good for a little while longer.
I want to come back to that in just a bit, but can we talk about South America, Argentina and Brazil? Argentina in particular to begin with, because they're still planting and I think they've been having some difficulties.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They are about midway through their planting, at least from a corn perspective. The soybeans are farther along, and they are doing a good job getting the crop in, even though it's a little bit behind the usual pace, and that's because it has been dry at times over this planting season. And as we go forward through this next 10 days, we're probably going to see more of the same. There is a very definite below-average precipitation bias that's playing out across a big part of Argentina, and this will be dominating for at least the next 7 days. We have a few showers left over from yesterday's little rain event that will occur today, but otherwise, I don't think we're going to see a lot of moisture until next Tuesday at the earliest, and more likely Wednesday or Thursday. And even that event at the moment doesn't strike me as being a big, heavy soaker for the region, just a temporary reprieve from the dry bias. So there may be a little bit more to the Argentina story as we go out in time. I do think that they will continue to get some timely precipitation, but I'm not convinced that they're going to see normal rainfall. And in Brazil, I think it looks very good for them. I think right now there's a little concern about some dryness in parts of Rio Grande do Sul as a function of this Argentina issue we just talked about. But the rest of the key production areas in that country are going to see a regular occurrence of rainfall and help to maintain a super outlook for crop development. And a lot of the concern that folks had earlier in the year are certainly disappearing. The biggest concern remains that second season corn crop, which we all know is going to be late getting into the ground, and therefore it will have more of a potential for problems down the road. But that's something several months from now.
Also, Uruguay, is it in the same boat as Rio Grande do Sul? And I think Cordoba, is that in the northern part of Argentina?
Yeah, Cordoba is actually doing better than most of the areas that are dry biased in Argentina. Cordoba just got some more rain in the last 24 hours, and up to about 0.8 of an inch of rain occurred in some locations. So they're doing okay, but neighboring areas there in parts of Buenos Aires, and the La Pampa area and a few spots in Santa Fe, probably not doing all that well, and they will continue lacking moisture. For Uruguay, I think the situation there isn't quite as significant as it is in Argentina. It would be somewhat like that in Rio Grande do Sul, where they're doing okay. They're going to turn a little drier biased for a while, but I think the bottom line is that they're going to continue to see a relatively good rhythm to their rainfall pattern and So they'll do, they'll probably see the production turn out to be okay. Maybe not be perfect, but it'll be all right.
Can you hopscotch across the southern hemisphere for me? I'd like to check the corn crop in South Africa and again on the wheat crop in Australia.
Yeah, South Africa is just now moving back into a wetter mode. It's been very dry over the last week, actually the last 10 days or so. They did real well with rainfall for a little while, and then it got very dry again, and they lost all their moisture. And in fact, it's been downright hot there with temperatures in the 90s to over 100 degrees. But it is going to start raining. They had a little bit of rain last night. They're going to see more rain over this next 7-day period. Everybody should get some moisture. Some of the western fringes of their grain and oilseed production region probably won't do all that well with rain, but everybody else will. Then they'll take a little break, and then I think they'll come back into rain. So I think the bottom line is South Africa is looking much better than they did previously. In Australia, the situation there continues to be one of greater concern. It is still very dry there, and it is not likely to turn around before the end of December and more likely in January. And by then, it's going to be too late for a lot of their crops. Their summer crops, sorghum and cotton, are both really need to be planted now and over these next few weeks in order to get along okay. And I just don't think the rain's going to be there in time for them to really see any kind of a change for the bottom line. Now, they might do better later in the year, and maybe they can see a better start to their winter wheat production in April. I know that's a long ways out, but I think that's where they need to be focused because I just don't think we're going to make it here for the summer crops.
As we wrap up our time together, let's come back to North America. I'd like to stick with the northern corn belt, corn crop in particular, for harvest in North Dakota, Wisconsin, northern Illinois.
Yeah, you know, I just saw the USDA suggested about 2.1 million acres of corn is still left to be harvested in North Dakota. I think parts of Minnesota is running about 687,000 acres, and Wisconsin close to a million. Even Iowa still has a million acres left to be cleaned up. And we do have a lot of snow on the ground right now across most of South Dakota, the southeastern two-thirds of North Dakota, and much of Minnesota. These areas are going to get a chance to warm up a little bit and dry out a bit. They will lose some snow, but unfortunately there's a big cold surge coming up for late in the weekend, early next week, and it's going to set off some more snow. So they'll melt some snow, they'll start moving in the right direction, and then we're going to get more snow and then very, very cold air for the early part of next week. So I don't think we're going to see much progress made over this next 7 to 10 days.
Well, that sounds like spring harvest for them. I suppose they'll be both harvesting corn and planting corn at the same time. Hey, Drew, thank you so much for taking a lot of time with me today.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org.